Okay, we're going to continue where we left off, but I want to just recap a little bit for those that have not been here. We're busy looking at the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what has God done to remove the offense of sin and to bring about reconciliation? But not only that, what has he done in dealing with the sin nature and bringing us into the reality of being a new creation in Christ Jesus? What has he done in dealing with the power of sin? So all of this is part of the work of atonement, and we're going to be looking more and more at the effects of the atonement. And just to recap from last Sunday, remember, sin is what made the atonement necessary. Atonement, as I said, is the way God removes sin, the way God has chosen to forgive sin, the way God has chosen to reconcile man back to himself. So all of that is what we're looking at over there. But one thing we need to understand there, that sin is not just the acts. It's not just the deeds. It's not just maybe, lying or stealing, whatever it may be. Sin is dealing with the very nature of man. And the acts is what's coming out of the very heart of man. And so Jesus describes it, because we have to understand the power of the cross of Jesus in dealing with all of this, so that we can have a good foundation. In Mark 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus is speaking about this, and he says, evil originates from inside a person. Coming out of a human heart are evil schemes, sexual immorality, wickedness, treachery is a quality of being deceptive, and debauchery, that's excessive indulgence in the flesh and pleasing the flesh, jealousy, slander, arrogance, recklessness. All these corrupt things emerge from within and constantly defile a person. The power of the cross, the power of the blood and the resurrection of Jesus is vital. I'm sharing this because many Christians, and I think we all can identify, we've got so many hang-ups, we've got so many problems. And the main reason is that when we got born again, no one told us what actually took place when we got born again. And so we haven't got a foundation for our lives. We're not rooted and established in Christ Jesus. And so we've got all these issues taking place, and we get messed up. So now the people, not only for our own lives, but those that you are discipling, this is so crucial to help them to have a starting point of what took place. Tell me about the power of Christ's sacrifice. What actually took place? Because I need to live my life from that reality, because the power of the cross is the power of God for those being saved. So we need to live in the reality of what Christ has done, the effects it has on God the Father, but also upon ourselves. The effect that the power of his sacrifice has done concerning the Holy Spirit is now able to come and dwell within us. All of these things are so, so important for us to have an understanding of. So I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 2 as we look at this, because today we want to look at what we call satisfaction. How is God satisfied in his Son Jesus Christ? We always look at the effects that Christ's death has had concerning us, but what effect did Christ's death have on our Heavenly Father? See, seeing it from a different perspective right now, to understand the heart of God, to understand the love of God, to understand how he's reached out in his Son Jesus, and what the effect it has on him as an incredible God. I don't think we ever think about what effect does sin have on God, what effect does the blood of Jesus have on God. Hi guys. Hi, how you doing? I've missed your angelic voices this morning. Okay, so we're busy with that there. So in Ephesians 2, and verse 1 onwards over there. As for you, and he's speaking now to the body of Christ, he's speaking to those who are living in the reality of the incredible blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And he goes, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Interesting that he uses two words here, transgressions and sins. Transgressions is false step. In other words, we were living a life that was false, but we thought it was the truth. Because God did not create us to live under the power of sin. And we were living a life that we thought was true, but sin controlled us. That's a false life. That's transgression. It's a lifestyle, a false lifestyle, okay? And we believed it was true. The power of the cross. You see, you've got to understand the power of the atoning blood of Jesus that has taken us out of that false lifestyle. Important in discipling people, giving them the foundation, giving them where they started, what happened when they got born again, understanding what Christ has done for them, what the Father has done for them, okay, and the effect it has on God because of the atoning blood of Jesus. So we carry on, and he uses the word transgressions. And the word sin, as we all know, we often use the word there, it's missing the mark. And so it's a false lifestyle that we believe to be truth that is missing the incredible mark of God, his truth, who he is, his holiness, his incredible qualities of life that we were created in his image to live in that reality. All of that, we've fallen short of that. Okay, now he carries on. Because of that, in which you used to live, again, live is a lifestyle. That's how we used to live. When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And as I've shared before, remember that in 1 John 5, we see there in verse 18, 19 onwards there that the whole world is under the control of Satan. Very important. And so here we see that all of us who have sinned, all mankind has sinned, we are disobedient, because sin is disobedience to the ways of God. It's falling short of the ways of God. So we are disobeying God's truth. Now, Satan controls mankind. We are under his influence. The power of the cross of Jesus, the power of the blood. This is when we understand what redemption is all about. One of the effects of atoning sacrifice of Jesus is the price that was paid to redeem us from all of this stuff. Okay. And so we will carry on. That will come later on. And it goes on over there. In which you, when you followed the ways, see, we followed the ways of this world. We were led by the devil. We were followed the ways of that sinful nature that controlled us. That's how we lived. Okay, who is now at work. It's not, he hasn't been, he's now at work. It's a continuous work of Satan and the continuous work of the sinful power of sin in mankind. Now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. So the atoning sacrifice of Jesus has to also deal with the sinful nature. It has to deal with us being under the control of Satan. It has to deal with us being under the control and living that false life. It has to deal with us from living that sinful life. It has to deal with all of these things, the power of the cross of Jesus for us who are being saved. Okay, so that's why we're not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Next week we will look at propitiation, which deals with this wrath. How did the sacrifice of Jesus sort out this wrath of God. Okay. Very important. So now we notice there that we were living in that realm, living like that. We were by nature, the very essence of our being, we were objects of wrath. Because of His great love, now look at this, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, the power of the cross of Jesus. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show. I like this word show, because this word show is proof. We are God's proof. Not only to this age, but in all the ages and the generations and the ages still to come, we are God's proof of His incredible grace and mercy. We are God's proof of what it is to be in Christ Jesus. It's so that everybody can have an understanding and know this is God's goodness. Okay, we are His proof. Isn't that incredible? Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, and God raised us up with Christ and seated with us in the heavenly realms. It's the purpose, in order, that's the purpose, that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith and not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, that's another story, that created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, this is an incredible truth. I want to read it just in verse 3 from the Passion Translation. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. And this is how we used to live. The power of the sacrifice of Jesus, who has taken us out of all of this. See, when you're discipling someone, if they are not established in this, they will not know the power of the cross to be able to live. The starting point for many discipling courses is sanctification. Now you've got to live holy. Shame. Because for the rest of their life, they will not understand what the blood of Christ has done to enable them to live holy. So they will try and live holy from their own willpower and not understanding that their body has been purchased by the blood of Jesus and that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, the starting point is I must behave correctly. No, that's the wrong starting point. The starting point is that by the atoning work of Jesus, we have been purchased with His blood, taken out of all of this what we've been spoken about. And our bodies now is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so now we live the fruit of the Spirit, now becomes a reality. And that's how we live a holy life. So we see then Hebrews 10, we'll look at that later on there, that we have been perfected, those who God is busy sanctifying. Very important. Okay, so we'll see that now as we continue over here this morning. So let's ask ourselves the question, how did Christ's death satisfy God? How did Christ's death satisfy God? Very important. That sin, we were enemies, by nature, enemies of God. when we look at the nature of God, well, let's look at Isaiah 53 first of all, just to give you some scriptures for that. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, we know that the incredible prophetic insight to the death of Jesus Christ. And then verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to strive. That word, it was the Lord's will. That word will, it was God's pleasure to crush him. It was God's delight to crush Jesus Christ. Why? Why was it God's pleasure to crush Jesus? Why? What effect did the cross of Jesus have on God the Father? Have you ever thought of that? Why did it bring him so much delight to send his son to the cross and to let his punishment, let his wrath come upon Jesus? Why? See, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and through the Lord make the guilt offering. Now we started to speak about the atonement again. Powerful. Let's go to the next scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. You see the same thing taking place in Hebrews chapter 10. We see over here, let me read from verse 1. The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So let's read back from verse 1, Hebrews 10 verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect, important words there, those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. So we're starting to see the effects that the sacrifice of Jesus has upon us. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Remember we looked last time? Atonement is where God deals with removing the sin from mankind. Okay? How does he do that? Now look at verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased, did not delight, you were not satisfied with burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in your scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, because it did not satisfy him, nor were you pleased with them. Okay. Though the law required them to be made. Then, this is Jesus, then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, let's go back. Here we see an amazing truth where God was not satisfied. He was not pleased. He did not take delight in the offerings of bulls and animals. What took place when Jesus was baptized? What did the Father say? This is my Son whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. How did the atoning work of Jesus, how did the life of Jesus, what effect has it had upon God the Father? Those animals did not please, did not satisfy. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene. I'm well pleased. Suddenly, there's a difference now. Then he carries on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke 17. There we see the two disciples over there. They hear a voice from heaven. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. What did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And all of a sudden we see now this truth here that Jesus, that the Hebrew writer is writing concerning Jesus, burnt offerings and sin offerings you are not pleased. And I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I've come to do your will, O God. And we start to see an amazing truth taking place over here. Now, let's ask ourselves the question. When we look at, for instance, you know that encounter that Moses has with God, show me your glory. And God reveals himself, and we see over there where God says, I'm merciful God, a compassionate God, etc. However, I'm also a just God. And I punish sins. I cannot let sin just do that because I'm holy, I'm just. See, how is God's righteousness going to be satisfied? How is God's, because he's a just God, how will the justice of God be satisfied? It was not satisfied, his righteousness was not satisfied with the blood of the animals. Not at all. Only the blood of Christ is able to satisfy the righteousness, the justness of God. Only the blood of Christ can satisfy the love of God, the holiness of God. Only the blood of Christ can satisfy the compassion of God. Because I want us to start seeing as the Holy Spirit motivates us and inspires us to evangelize. Because now we're wanting to see now, because man has sinned. There's an offense in the way. There's sin. And the very nature of God, we're dealing with the very nature of God. His very nature hates sin. The wrath of God is his passionate, this passionate sort of, whatever you want to call it, hatred towards that which is evil. We were by nature enemies of God. So now we see this is, he has mankind, and in his grace have sacrifices with animals, and that's just because I'm showing you a bigger picture of what's going to take place. But this is a way, by course of grace, that's going to deal with your sin so that we can continue to have some form of relationship. Old covenant. Now all of a sudden, the veil is in the old covenant. They could not enter into the most holy place. Not at all. Old covenant. Jesus now, he has my body, setting aside the first to establish the second, the new covenant. So now we see with our Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming and his blood, let's go back into that. The wages of sin is death. The cross, the death of Jesus is dealing with the sin issue. His resurrection is dealing with the death issue. Important. The wages of sin is death. So the atoning blood, God forgives the sin. The blood is about dealing with the sin of mankind. His resurrection is saying, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? The wages of death was, the wages of sin was death, but I've dealt with sin. Now the resurrection shows you. You guys who have by faith accepted me, I paid the price. My blood paid that price. It was the wages. Now you have life. Resurrection life. The blood of the blood of animals could not have done that. Only the blood of Jesus. No human blood, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All human blood is contaminated with the sinful nature. What man, what person, what animal could be able to say, how am I going to deal with the wages of sin? How am I going to deal? Because I'm, penalty is death for me. How am I going to sort that out? The wisdom of God is foolishness to man. See, Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our redemption. Therefore, we boast in Him. Oh, that's a deep one. You'll get it. We'll get there when we look at substitution. But now we have this incredible truth over here where none of the animals could ever, ever, ever deal with the death situation. So God Himself has to come. Not conceived by man. He's not a child of Adam. He's a child of God. He's the Son of God. Sinless nature. The power of sin is not in our Lord Jesus Christ. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And He comes. And He says, a body you have prepared for me. Whoops, incarnation. There He comes. His whole life from the moment He was born right until His death and even continue, all that He has done in His earthly life was to once again to make amends to what sin has done. So, we see our Lord Jesus in His, as a child, where sin has destroyed relationships with parents and parents with children, Jesus is already now in His earthly life making amends over there, sorting that all out. His whole life, how He's there with His Father, working with His Father, how He's there with His family, His brothers and sisters, all of that, Jesus is restoring what sin has broken. And He's bringing in the ways of His Father. He's bringing in the kingdom reality. He's bringing in all of this. Doing the work of making amends what sin and Satan had done. All the way. Now we have this incredible truth where Jesus now goes to the cross. And He takes upon Himself our sin. You see, when you're paying a debt, just say you and I, we owe, what furniture shops are there these days? I don't even know furniture shops anymore. But we owe a shop money, we're in debt. That shop doesn't worry about who's going to be paying the debt, as long as it's paid. Not with God. You see? Only Christ can pay the debt. It's not about that money is being paid. It's about, for God, it's who is paying the debt. Who it is. Because the animal blood could not pay the debt. Human blood could not pay the debt. Only the Son of God could pay the debt. The wages of sin is death. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. So now we've got, let's take another example. We've got, for instance, your justice system. Your whole Department of Justice. So here you have someone coming into the courts and they have broken the law. How is justice satisfied? See, justice demands to be satisfied. This person's broken the law. So, justice is satisfied when the punishment that goes according to that offense is released and that person then faces the consequences of the punishment. Now justice is satisfied. God is just. We have sinned. He, by nature, who He is, has to be satisfied. So Jesus takes upon Himself our sin. He's our substitute. So now, in His Son, what takes place? God's justice is now satisfied. That's why He was pleased to crush His Son Jesus. That is why He was pleased to lead His Son to the cross and to be crucified for you and I. Why? So that once again, God, who is fully satisfied, can once again enable us to have an incredible relationship. That's why in Christ Jesus there's no condemnation anymore. Because God is fully satisfied in His Son Jesus. Why is this important? First of all, because in our brain, we may have a false understanding. We don't know what the blood of Christ has done in satisfying God. And so we keep on hiding from God. We keep on looking back, and that song said, our minds, that ghost town where it's haunting us of our past all the time. We don't know the power of the blood of Jesus and how God has been truly satisfied. We don't know that in Christ Jesus there's no more condemnation, because we don't know that the only one who could have satisfied the very just nature, the very righteousness, the very holiness of God. Sin cannot come into the holiness of God. Light cannot enter, or darkness cannot have fellowship with light. 1 John. But now in Christ Jesus, because we are in Him, He is our holiness. Now we are able to come into the throne room. The veil, His body, the veil is broken. No longer hiding away behind the curtain. Now into the most holy of holies, into the most presence of God, because He's fully satisfied. Therefore with boldness into the throne of grace. Because He's fully satisfied, not holding our sin against us. This is incredible good news. What Christ has done for us. So now God's heart, wow, now my children come home again. Now we can have fellowship again. Now my very nature that has to do something about your sin, now it's been satisfied. Now come home. Come up. How incredibly big and good and huge is the love of God that He's lavished upon us, that we will be called children of God. That's who we are. God is fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. Because Christ's sacrifice was perfect. Fully satisfied. Hey, this is our God. This is our Father that has reconciled us through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is our God who so loved the world that He gave His Son. Whoever believes can have eternal life. Hey. This is what He has done so that He is satisfied. His very nature is satisfied. So we start to see in the satisfaction of God that His love, oh, but there's my righteousness. I want to let them really come and live in my love, but I cannot because I've got a righteous nature and there's an offense, there's sin. And my nature has to deal with that sin. It cannot overlook that sin because then I'm not righteous, then I'm not just. In a court of law, if a criminal, if a murderer comes in and the judge says, oh, go and living and that there, justice has not been satisfied. Justice has not been served. That's a wicked judge. God is holy. He's pure. He's good. He's love. And that is why His love demands justice. His love demands His righteousness and the ways of God. His love demands His holiness. Everything. So now all of a sudden, because He's been satisfied, His compassion has been satisfied, because He's a compassionate God. But because of Jesus, He reaches out. I'm satisfied. Before that offense, it was a problem. But I've been fully satisfied. My holiness has been fully satisfied because You're in my Son and He is your holiness. I'm fully satisfied. Because you're in Christ, He is your righteousness. I'm fully satisfied. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He is your redemption. You're in Him. Guys, I want you to understand the heart of God. So that you pray and you evangelize and that we touch people's lives. Because what God has done in sending His Son is because there's His righteous justice nature that needs to deal with the sin of man, and He's made a way for man to come and to have fellowship, to be reconciled to God. The gospel, the good news of God. Yo, guys. Ask God today, Lord, show me the people that You're wanting to touch so that they can experience how You're so satisfied when they come into Your Son. Man, You embrace them and You love them. They're Your children. They live in love. They can be lived loved by You. They can live loving. That's so awesome. Come. They share the good news. Because He's satisfied in His Son. And praise God for His Son, Jesus. Aren't you glad that you didn't have to try and satisfy God with your good works? Hey. Imagine now you're good for one day and then tomorrow you just blow it. Oh God, you're not satisfied with me anymore. Oh dear, what are you going to do? Oh my. Let me go and get drunk just to try and hide this guilt. No. Me in Christ, He's fully satisfied with what He has done. The grace of God. Amen. Ah, Father, what more can we say but thank You as we sang, Jesus, thank You for the cross. Thank You, Father, for the fact that in Your Son, oh, it's hard to understand, but it was Your delight to crush Your Son, Jesus Christ. So that that offense has been dealt with, so that Your very nature is fully satisfied, so that now we can be one, we can be fully. But that's so profound because by Your Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, Father, and Holy Spirit, You're the same Spirit in Jesus, dwells within us. Unbelievable. That now You come and dwell in us. Why? Because You are fully satisfied and You can make Your home within us because of the blood of Jesus. We are a new creation. Thank You. And we ask this morning, Father, that we'll become so one with this understanding that Your love motivates us to share the gospel. Your love motivates us to tell this good news that You so love mankind that You have given Your Son Jesus in order to help man to come to You so that they may know that You are fully satisfied in Your Son, what He has done. And so we ask today, Father, by Your Holy Spirit, draw people to Jesus. Help us to have an understanding of the gospel, of Your good news. So that people all around us, people that we can come into contact in the coming weeks and the years, we ourselves will be able to have a message of understanding what atonement's all about. When we're making disciples, Father, that we may know a starting point to help them from the very basic, from the very starting of their Christian journey, of what it is. What does it mean to be a child of God? So thank You for Your blood, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for Your willingness when You said, here I am, send me. Thank You that it's only Your blood that has perfected us. It's only Your blood that has removed the offense. It's only Your blood that has cleansed our conscience and removed the guilt. It's only Your blood that has enabled us to become a new creation. The old is gone. Thank You for that. Teach us more, Holy Spirit. Share with us. Take from Jesus and make it known in our daily lives. Father, when we are wanting to be like the prodigal son and sort of like run away from You, let us be reminded, Father, that You are fully satisfied. When we trip up with sin or whatever we do, let us rather become so truth conscious of You and Your Son and what His sacrifice has done in making You fully satisfied. Lord, I must admit we getting just a glimpse of how you must feel that your justice has been met. Your righteousness has been fully satisfied. But we realize that those outside of Christ, we see then John, are continually living under the reality of your wrath. So we ask, Father, for the opportunities this week to be able to share the gospel with somebody. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.